Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
Welcome back. It is week 7. Tons of upsets this weekend. Some teams suffered a hangover. Some teams just had challenging games. Well, either way, they got outplayed, and we're here to talk about coaching also in college football. So what's up, Trash Talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable. If you prefer, you can just call it Ring Knocker Radio. I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano, and we got Trigger Joe calling to you from the home of the Big House. How are we doing, guys? What do we watch this weekend? We'll start with Joe and roll over to Dan.
I, of course, watched Michigan and Wisconsin to start out my Saturday. And Michigan comes out 24-10, but they were in control of most of the game. I did watch Miami win another big game against FSU and stake their claim as one of the best three teams in the country. But then it was UFC time, and the veteran trash talk crew was spot on in calling the fights as usual. I personally hit another four-leg parlay in the fights, and then thanks to Jam Miller's last-minute touchdown in the Alabama game, I hit a six-leg same-game parlay on the Vandy one. Maybe sending me boosts for that because I keep getting them. But then watching my favorite fighter get his belt back in the main event of the UFC was awesome. So sorry to mix in some UFC with my college football, but that's the kind of day it was.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's how it goes, man. That's a Saturday for real in some households. You know, we switch over and watch other things. So speaking of switching over, watching other things, over to you, Dano. What did you end up watching?
I, of course, watched the Army game. Did my best to keep an eye on Air Force at Navy and the rest of the American Conference sort of at the same time. You know, Bama looks like Bama again against Vanderbilt. And Navy is like, we're going to talk about this more obviously, but super reliant on Blake Horvath, even more so than I think Army was last year on Bryson Daly. And that is like saying something.
That's a statement. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's really something. Thought the Zoomies were going to pull it out. I really did until that last second fumble killed them. But that was an interesting game to hold even 10% of my attention when, you know, Army's in a do or die game themselves.
Yeah.
Iowa State disappointed me. And last thought, Virginia is somehow the best team in the ACC. Like, what a world.
Yeah. First, I watched Army again. I think it's probably the best second half of football that I've seen Army play, and that's saying a lot, seeing that they've gone into overtime a couple times. But I think it's legitimately because they were able to close it out in regulation, which is great. And then I watched, you know, Baylor and Cincy boot it. You know, they rolled over Kansas State and Iowa State. Like, I know that the panic button is being hit in Manhattan, Kansas right now because Little Apple is on fire because they cannot win football games. And like, look, so what's the over-under on Avery Johnson being the starter quarterback at Notre Dame or some other college somewhere in the near future? Because, like, the team's not delivering. And, you know,
minus 500, man. That's happening.
Yeah, for sure.
It is today in college football, and supreme talents don't stay on teams that are a mess. They just don't.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the future of what we're heading into. And then the evening slate of games started. You know, I watched the Buckeyes open the playbook, and I think, you know, if you are in the Big Ten now, you're like, oh, crap, like they have some offensive weapons. I think that, you know, I think Tate might be the better receiver, you know, even though Smith is a freaking stud, he's getting more looks because, you know, they're doubling up on Smith, and then Tate's getting one-on-ones. And if you have zero coverage on Ohio State, like, somebody's going to beat you deep, period. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's going to happen. And then, you know, I watched the Wolverines look solid. Their running game is improving every week, and their defense is always solid. So it's going to be interesting. And then I flipped over to the UFC, like Joe did, of course, and then watched Poatan capture his dude. That guy is a berserker. Like, do not get caught in a bar room brawl with that guy because he will 100% take you off the board. And speaking of taking you off the board, if you're looking for a new home and we want somebody to help you get on the board with finding a new house, we've got a realtor for you. So we're doing something a little new this week. Hey, if you are listening to this show and you are in the market for purchasing a home, there's a QR code in the top corner of the screen. click on that and fill out your doggone paperwork, because it's going to take you directly to Jocelyn's website. But if you've listened to the show at all, you know that we have a sponsor here. Her name is Jocelyn Bradley. If you're PCSing to the Fort Bragg area, she's the realtor for you. Jocelyn spent her military career in logistics. There she discovered a passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find dream homes when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn has an extended network of veteran realtors who could also support you if you're relocating somewhere else in the country. So she should be your first call if you are in the market for a home. You don't even need to be specifically moving to Fort Bragg, but Jocelyn will help you find a realtor you can trust. So if you're looking for somebody that you can trust, like, start with Jocelyn, and then she will help continue to move that forward as you're PCSing or just moving into your house. You may not be PCSing at all. You may be just moving. And with the market being crazy, you just need somebody that you can trust to get you into your new home. So highly, highly recommend Jocelyn. Moving on, Dano, Service Academy standings, if you don't mind.
Yeah, man. Army is now 2-3 after outplaying the Alabama Birmingham Blazers at their place. We talked about this obviously in detail last night with the Army football show, but the Black Knights created some turnovers, got to the quarterback a little bit, and they just looked like a different team this week. They looked like Army for the first time this season. And that's pretty good. You know, you want to see incremental steps. I think we saw incremental steps this week. Navy, meanwhile, is 5-0, winning a shootout against the Zoomies. 65 points scored, almost 1,000 yards of total offense. Dude, crazy game. I feel bad for that Zoomie quarterback fumbling, because that kid is a gamer. Like, yeah, what a great football player he is. And they were driving, you know, they had the ball with, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes left to go, driving against a defense that absolutely had not stopped them. And then he gets hit right on the ball. Ball pops out. Mids pick it up. And then they manage to hold on to the lead and hold on to the ball and convert a crucial fourth down to win the game. Air Force now falls to 1-4, has to travel to UNLV this week. And it's honestly, as well as those guys played, it's fair to ask when they're going to get a win. That defense does not look good. Like, they could not stop getting burned over the top. It was crazy. Outside the FBS, Coast Guard Academy is now 4-1. That is really impressive. They defeated SUNY Maritime 28-26 with a 12-point fourth quarter and snuck past the Privateers. Coasties have a week off, and their next game is on the 18th of October. And the Merchant Marine Academy is 4-0 after putting together a soccer score with MIT, winning 6-3. So if you're a fan of solid defense, you got your money's worth. Mariners are going to be in action at SUNY Maritime this weekend. Looks like the Secretary's Cup looks like a pretty good game this week.
Yeah, I think the Secretary's Cup is shaping up to be pretty good, because both of those teams are really good. And speaking of things that are really good, we're going to get to our Hold Our Beer moment. But we have a new sounder, because we've been working on this just for Joe.
Look, it's the Blue Falcon.
Ooh. There we go. So it's Blue Falcon of the week, guys.
All right. That's fantastic. And out of respect, I've been biting my tongue on this specific guy, but I just can't any longer. When you're paid the salary that Power Five college football coaches get paid and you're not delivering, then as for football, calling you out is the least of your concerns. Having said that, watching the North Carolina Tar Heels start their football season and culminate this Saturday in an absolute embarrassment to Clemson and what historically has been a very good college football game has been like death by a thousand cuts. This team is a mess. All of the offseason press went to the head coach because his girlfriend, who is a third his age, coaxed him into coaching at her favorite school. Or at least that's what it looks like. Forgive me for sounding salty, but I lived in North Carolina for almost 15 years, and they've had great coaches come through that school in basketball and football, Mac Brown being one of them. So why is it that they have what was known as the greatest, one of the greatest minds in the history of the sport coaching at the helm? And given their on-field product, they're not even being taken seriously by week six. We've seen coaches with smaller acumen, experience, and most importantly now, budget, turn programs around. And if nothing else, show growth and improvement in their first season. But what Bill Belichick has put on the field in powder blue for the North Carolina Tar Heels has been one of the worst Tar Heel teams I've seen in the last 20 years. Now, I'm not a North Carolina Tar Heels fan, and it would beg the question why I'm like so salty about it. But I guess what my problem is that there were kids who were like the best of the best of the best in high school that committed their lives to the fact that he was going to be their coach. And what he has produced has shown where his heart was at when he took the move, apparently. Otherwise, the North Carolina Tar Heels would not be losing by 28 points to Clemson a Clemson team that is wildly inconsistent at best. For the reasons just listed and your performance to date this season, Bill Belichick, you have earned your first Blue Falcon of the Week. Come on, Bill, clean it up. You're in your 60s, a little less Netflix chill and a little more film room. Your players deserve it.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. Done with that rant.
And Dan, are you muted?
Have you seen her though? Like, the dude is in his 60s. That is,
I get it.
I mean, you know, he got his brain warped. I mean, tale as old as time, man.
From Brady to that is quite the difference.
But yeah, it is.
Yeah, 100%.
It's always nice to finish it off with the whole my beer moment, and it's a good thing that I do my research because I just heard this today. Of course, like every other college football Saturday midseason, there's going to be some game-changing performances, but clearly one stood out head and shoulders above the rest, and I'm not surprised if you didn't hear about it. Colonel Rob, this one comes from your neck of the woods. So if you haven't heard about Teron Dickens, sophomore quarterback of the Western Carolina Catamounts, and what he did against Wofford on Saturday, I'm about to tell you something incredible. Rumor has it, and this can't be verified, that before the game, the sophomore from Miami asked his coach what the record for completions to start a game was. And when his coach said 36, he responded with, you guessed it, hold my beer, watch this. Dickens proceeded to go, and this is not a misprint, 46 completions on 46 attempts to start the game, shattering the old record. Most importantly, he finished the game with a victory, going 53 of 56 for 378, 3 tutties, and 0 turnovers. An actual history-making performance that clearly stole the show this week and deserves this week's Hold My Beer moment.
Wow, that's crazy. And that's awesome. And that's one of the stats that we always look at, you know, is quarterback completion percentage. Like, if you're over 70%, 46. Yeah, like, if you throw 46 times in a row and, like, you don't have a drop – like, that's pretty good, too. That means your receivers are in the game and, like, everybody switched on. And, like, chances are you're probably going to win that game if you can throw that much and have that many connections.
Side note, Wofford's defensive coordinator was fired at halftime.
Yeah, that's possibly true, too. So let's run down the top 10, Joe. What do you got?
All right, number one, no change here. We got the Ohio State Buckeyes. They hold down their number one spot after a 42-3 dismantling of Minnesota. They traveled to play number 17 Illinois on Saturday, where the Buckeyes are a 14.5-point favorite. At number two, still climbing, we got the Miami Hurricanes up a spot after they and deservedly so after they handled Florida State. Florida State made a late run in the end, but that game was over 20 when it was 28-3. Miami is off, and I don't think they play again until the 17th, actually. At number three, we got the Oregon Ducks. They drop one spot to number three in their week off. They have a huge opportunity to make a statement on Saturday as they play the number seven Indiana Hoosiers. Oregon is a 7.5-point favorite. At number four, no change. We got the Ole Miss Rebels. They had their week off. They have Washington State coming to town where they are a 32.5-point favorite. Number five, we got the Texas A&M Aggies up one spot after blowing out Mississippi State 31-9. Texas A&M plays Florida at home on Saturday where they're a 7.5-point favorite. At six, we got Oklahoma. The Sooners actually dropped down a spot as they took care of Kent State in a tune-up game 44-0. The Red River Shootout awaits, and without John Mateer, I think is the word, Oklahoma is a 2.5-point underdog.
Wow.
Interesting.
At number seven, up one spot are the Indiana Hoosiers. They had the week off, and I hope they took advantage because they traveled to play the Ducks in Oregon, like I said before, with their 7.5-point dog. At number eight, we got Alabama up two spots after a hard-fought victory over Vanderbilt, 30-14, Alabama travels to number 14, Missouri, where they are a 2.5-point favorite on Saturday.
I think that line has moved quite a bit.
Yeah. Has it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll check it because that's a weird one because Mizzou's ranked in at home. So yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. But we got at number nine, we got Texas Tech. The Red Raiders are up two spots after going on the road and destroying an undefeated Houston team, 35-11. Texas Tech will play Kansas on Saturday, where they are a 13.5-point favorite. At number 10, it's Georgia up two spots. UGA is back after hosting Kentucky to a 35-14 beating. Georgia will travel to Auburn on Saturday, where they're a 3.5-point favorite.
Yeah. So, you know, when you run down the top 10, one of the things that I thought of, man, like Carson Beck, like looks every bit of every penny that they spent on that dude to get him down in Miami. I mean, that guy, you know, he's improved a lot. I think I watched part of the Texas Tech Houston game. Holy moly. Yeah, I think the only thing that was going well for Houston was the throwback uniforms, because they did look like the Oilers of old, but they did not play like them. So they
got, yeah, it kind of reminds me of Justice Haynes, the transition from how he looked at Alabama to how he looked at Michigan. Carson Beck looks so comfortable in those games. I don't think I've ever seen him frown. He's got the perfect poker face, and all I've really seen him do is smile, celebrate, and win. And the dude looks really comfortable.
Yeah, he looks solid. And I think like one of the things that hasn't been talked about, you know, and like we've had all the preseason hype on quarterbacks and everything else, but one of the things that hasn't really changed is like who's the front runner for the Heisman right now? You know, I'm not looking into it. You know, I haven't looked into it at all, but it's like it's hard to think that a lot of the preseason favorites are still in the hunt just based off of the way that they played so far this season. And speaking of that, we'll move into the top 25 losses. So we've had 26 total top 25 losses since the season started. And like I said, at this rate, we're probably going to be closer to 70 at the way that college football has been going. There's a lot of parity these days, but as previously mentioned, Miami edged Florida State 28-22, but that score was not indicative of how bad that beating was early. Penn State, yo, man. and this leads right into our topic, so I'm not going to talk too much more about it. But like, you lose to UCLA after dropping a hard fought game to, you know, an in conference. Well, they're both in conference now because UCLA is part of the conference, but there is no way that UCLA should have even been on the field with Penn State given the way that that game was played. You know, Texas and Bama or Florida, like, you go to the swamp in the SEC, like, you're going to get got if you're not ready. Like, if you are not playing your best game, you're going to lose. Like, Florida will get you in the swamp, period. You know, I think Diego Pavia wrote some checks that his butt couldn't cash, and the Bama defense made sure that he did. And then Iowa getting upset by Cincy. You know, Cincy's quietly putting together a really good season.
Yeah, they are.
You know, so it's interesting to see that, like, you know, these upsets, yeah, they're happening. Ranked on bank matchups, like, we kind of expect those to go either way. But like, when these teams are sneaking up on folks and biting them, it makes for an interesting weekend for sure. But moving on to the topic this week, thanks to Mike Davis on socials for this topic. In the era of college football, which coaches do we think are the most overrated? And he's, you know, he added a tag on there, and he said, start with Belichick and James Franklin, but I think those are the common ones for sure. But let's kind of break this down. So Dano, you lead, and Joe, and then I'll bring up the rear. Thanks.
So I try to think of, you have to be rated in order to be overrated, right? I mean, being overrated in my mind means being well-respected. So you know, it's not fair to say Trent Dilfer, for example. Right. Because we're all on Dilfer watch. Even the UAB fan base is on Dilfer watch at this point. Yeah. So I got to say, Josh Heupel, head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers. And you got to give the guy credit because he's done a lot to turn that program around. He's currently 41-16 with the Vols, 69-24 lifetime. But he has infinite resources at Tennessee.
Yeah.
I mean, he has 103,000 person stadium. They have essentially the infinity worth of money. There's no one in college football that's going to outspend Tennessee. And yet it feels like Volunteer fans are waiting until Judgment Day to get that next SEC championship. And, you know, I've been a longtime Tennessee fan, and I can remember a time when, you know, the Vols were competitive with Georgia and Bama and Florida. Uh-huh. They didn't necessarily win all the time, but it wasn't like you needed home field advantage and a miracle to get those wins. And my other choice is K-State's Chris Kleiman. I'm not sure how you say that name. But, dude, great season in 2022, but not a lot in the conference besides that, either before or after. And, again, this is a guy who you have to sort of compare the resources and the expectations. And K-State is not broke. Like, that's not a small school competing in the Big 12. And yet they seem to fall short of expectations all the time, with the exception of 2022, which was a great season. But, you know, if you're K-State and you're wondering what the hell happened to my team, I think that's fair to ask.
Yeah, I think that is true. And so, you know, when you talk about Trent Dilfer, I think you know, there's something to be said. There's two kind of recipes for disaster that we've seen recently in college football, right? And those recipes for disaster are like, hey, we're going to bring in this pro level coach and toss him into our program because that's going to mean instant success. Like, oh, he won a Super Bowl. Okay, well, that's in the NFL with a different type of talent.
Completely different game, honestly.
Yeah, and a completely different lift. And then the other part of it is you know, the former player that comes back to his alma mater, right? Like, how often do we see that turn out to be successful? Maybe once, and that was Harbaugh, right? I can't recall off the top of my head another instance where, you know, hey, we bought back a former player. You know, look at Scott Frost in Nebraska. Oof. You know, like they want to forget it just like everybody else in college football. So I think there's something to be said about like those two coaching choices and how that falls out. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, how the rest of the season goes because we know some teams are struggling. Joe, who's on your list for Coach Watch?
Oh, man, I don't mean to be picking on the fat kid at dodgeball, but James Franklin clearly has to be in this conversation. I don't know how many times he has to take an overhyped Penn State squad into a game and fail for people to stop calling him an elite football coach. From the moment he got to Penn State and Penn State was in the Big Ten by that time, obviously, they've been the third or fourth best team on average in the Big Ten every year. And every year there's hype like there is on Notre Dame coming in. And I'm just, I do believe that some coaches cannot handle the transition from coordinator to head coach. And I certainly believe that Luke Fickell fits that mold at Wisconsin. We've seen coaches go in there and have success early because they can recruit. And we're still waiting for Wisconsin to make that leap under Fickell when he's set up for success. And I'm not sure what it is. Me going around the Big Ten. Everybody, you know, they rolled out the red carpet and said PJ Fleck was going to come in and win all these Big Ten titles at Minnesota. And I'm not sure he's as great as they hyped him up to be. Minnesota's another one of those schools that under the right coach have been able to put quality teams on the field. And they are a middle of the road Big Ten team pretty much since the year he started coaching. Minus that one successful thing. And it's kind of like touching on what Dano said. There's a danger in giving these guys flowers before they coach a single game too. And sometimes I'm not sure the coach is fairly evaluated to begin with. Like when Brady Hoke came into Michigan, he had enough heart, love for his players, the University of Michigan for 10 men, but still could not beat or out recruit guys like Urban Meyer and Nick Saban. And Mark D'Antonio, to be honest, I think a lot of coaches get overrated because they're set up for success, even though they're unproven. And we fall into those things of calling guys overrated before they actually have been rated, kind of like what Dano said.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And so, like, I'm going to dovetail off of what you said. And of course, I put my portion of the outline together before we even talked about this. But like, I think I'm going to hit the broad category of like things that I've seen. And it goes into your point about Luke Fickell, and he's actually on my list. But I think there's a lot of coaches that can't make that successful transition from coordinator into head coach, right? They get close. Like perfect example of Luke Fickell is like when he was at Cincinnati, he was able to kind of take some of that shine that he had when he was at Ohio State and like recruit and build a solid team there. And so Cincinnati was good for a handful of years, right, while he was there. But then you move just a little bit further away and you put him at Wisconsin and he's not having the same level of success, you know. And like I think of the guys that like are a lot of these dudes are kind of falling into that SEC coaching tree too. So you've got like the Lincoln Rileys who is at Oklahoma. You've got to Steve Sarkisian, who is a Bama coordinator. You've got Lane Kiffin, who's a Bama coordinator. You know, those guys are all good coordinators in their respective, you know, areas of emphasis. Like offensively, like I don't think there's a better offensive mind between it. Like if you have Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian calling plays for you, you're going to win some games. Like make no mistake, you're going to win football games. Your offense is going to be super explosive and you're going to do very, very well. But for some reason, there's something missing in their formula that doesn't allow them to get to that next level. And you can say Shark is the exception because like they made it into the playoff last year and they're really competitive for the SEC title and all that other stuff. But like, at what point do you have this superstar in waiting in Arch Manning and you don't develop that guy, right? He's had all this opportunity to get ready. Like he's been there for a year. He's been the backup and now he's laying an egg. And with a last name like Manning And, you know, a school as talented as Texas is, there's no reason for them to be struggling the way that they are right now. But ultimately, I'm going to switch gears really quick and hit the last thing and say my ultimate overrated coach in college football is the Oregon coach, Dan Lanning. And I always say this, he's like, hey, look,
Jets fired.
The Ducks never let me down, and they'll drop one after week 10, as they always do, because they always lose focus towards the end of the year. Their best opportunity to win a national championship was last year, and we saw what Ohio State did to them, you know, but people don't understand, like, hey, look, the history of, you know, Ohio State and Oregon in the Rose Bowl has never been good for the Ducks. And so if you know Big Ten football at all, that's always a problematic area. But I think, you know, any of these coaches, like if they came to your team, you would be happy probably for the first year or two. And then as the shine wears off that apple and they stop winning, then you'll probably be a little bit more critical. And I think we're finally to that point with some of these coaches. And I think that's legitimately it. Like you said, like there's all this big, huge investment. The assumption, the fair assumption would be that Bill Belichick would have bought, you know, something home. Like you would think that in week six, like we were talking, we'd be talking bowl eligibility for the Tar Heels, and we're not. And so that's one of the big things moving into week seven. They should be looking for a bowl game, not for their second win. And I think that's a big problem. But speaking to somebody that doesn't have a big problem, we have a guy that has zero problem helping you find a mortgage. Dano, tell us about Craig.
Friends, Craig Coxane is the area sales manager for The Money Store. He is a mortgage broker licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. And Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994. He is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. Why does that matter? Because the mortgage process is super confusing. The economy, if you can figure out what's going on with the economy, I'll give you $5. You got interest rates moving all over the place. You know, mortgage rates not necessarily tied to all the other interest rates. It's just not the time to deal with some clown who wants to try to make a buck off you, just some mindless call center, random big box bank, you know, whatever. You want to be able to get on the phone and call an actual person, and that's Craig. And this, friends, is how the West Point Network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at Astro Football. And we're trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the very man that you need to meet. Rob already noted that we've got these QR codes here on the video. So if you're watching us on YouTube, click that QR code, man. It'll take you right to his page. You fill out a little questionnaire. You'll be talking to Craig in a couple of hours. And if you don't feel like going to doing that, you can also go to astrofootball.com, click on his little business card or Jocelyn's as well. And friends, importantly, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That's a gigantic savings. That's like $1,300. Save yourself $1,300. Like, it is not difficult. So Craig Oxane, area sales manager for The Money Store. Check it out. Link's on our website, or you can just Google it, or you can click on that QR code. Whatever, man. I don't necessarily think you're going to spell his name without our help. So let us help you find the man that you need to meet.
Thanks, Dano. Yeah, so let's run down the American games to watch. Unfortunately, the American Conference fanboy is not here. Omar is
No. But, I got this.
But Danny switched up,
and I am writing the preview this week. Okay. Omar is going to write the keys to victory. Got to keep it fresh. Right. So I am super prepared. I did that because I'm the boss, and I saw that this is a very exciting week of American Conference football. And so I just said, hey, you know what? I'm going to do it. All right. So, yeah. Good. You got ECU at Tulane and USF at North Texas. And if you can't get up for those two games in the American Conference, I don't know what to tell you, because both those games have potential college football playoff implications. Like, one of those four teams is probably going to the playoff, if not Memphis. And this is essentially a single elimination tournament this weekend starts. And also Navy at Temple, which is a pretty interesting game if you watch Temple beat UTSA over the weekend. So, yeah, man, a pretty interesting game, especially ECU at Tulane. You got one of the best rushing defenses in the country in the Pirates versus one of the best rushing attacks in the country in Tulane. That's a good game, man. That's going to be one to watch.
Yeah, for sure. And then rounding out the slate, you got UAB at FAU. And I mean, that could be interesting because, again, you know.
Well, they're both teams are fighting for their lives, right? I mean, they're both 2-3, and the winner might get to a bowl game and the loser definitely won't.
Yeah. I'll be watching South Florida, North Texas. That's going to be a slobber knocker.
Yeah, 100%. I think that game is going to be super, super interesting to watch. So let's move on to our games of the week. And so the first, like, we got games tomorrow night, if you can believe it. So Wednesday on the 8th of October, that's nuts. So you've got Missouri State and Middle Tennessee at 7:30. You got Liberty and UTEP kicking at 8. So you've got ESPN2 and CBS Sports Network games on Thursday. Again, madness. So you got La Tech and Kennesaw State, but the East Carolina and Tulane game is going to be 7:30 on ESPN. Tune in.
That is a must watch Thursday night matchup. I'm telling you.
Like, set your DVRs today. That's probably going to be more exciting than the NFL game. Unless you're a hardcore NFL fan of the teams that are playing, watch ECU and Tulane. You'll probably get your money's worth for sure. The rest of the slate is Jacksonville State at Sam Houston, and then Southern Miss at Georgia Southern. Friday night games. Here's the other one. USF at North Texas. You know, watch that game. I think that one's going to be interesting to watch. You got Rutgers at Washington kicking late, and Fresno State at Colorado State. And those are on FS1 and CBS Sports Network, respectively. Moving into the early kicks on Saturday, you got USF at Cincinnati, Charlotte at Army, and Ohio State at Illinois. I think that one's going to be a much better contest than we think. I think the Buckeyes will get the nod, but, like, it'll be interesting what play calls they use, because when they're open with the playbook, they score a lot more points. When they're trying to be conservative, it does not turn out as well. Go ahead, Joe.
You know, you're right about that more than most people know, because if you look at how to destroy Illinois, Indiana gave you the blueprint.
Yeah.
So if an Indiana opens up, and Ohio State's got that. We've got receiver, quarterback. Yeah, we can do that. So if they air it out against Illinois, I could see them running it. And if they run between the tackles and play conservative offense, I could see it being a really tight game for three quarters.
Yeah. This is one of those, you know, Ohio State is typically like any other college football team. If you let them hang around long enough, you might get got. You know, when they put their foot on the gas, like, no team in college football will beat them. Obviously, we saw how they did the tail end of the season. Hopefully, they don't have a hiccup as they did last year. UCLA at Michigan State. I'm just noting that one just because UCLA is hot right now. I mean, after dismantling freaking Penn State, which still makes you scratch your head.
Yeah, watch them turn around and go on a run now that they fired that quarterback and they got the 20-year-old kid in there as a coordinator or whatever.
Yeah,
not the quarterback, the coach.
Would not be surprised. Would not be surprised, because the play calling was pretty interesting. If you didn't watch the UCLA game, significant change from how they were calling plays earlier in the season, and an impact. And now Tennessee is going, hey, look, see, Nico was good. You know, after he puts up 5 touchdowns against Penn State. You've got Bama and Mizzou. That's starting to become an SEC rivalry, unfortunately, for Missouri. I think Bama is starting to get into their midseason form now, and so I think that one will be not even close. I think it's probably 10 or more points for Bama. You got Pitt at Florida State kicking at noon. So there's a great slate of games at noon, man. Holy smokes. Like, make sure you got your multi-view on or you're not going to be able to see everything that's going on. You got NC State at Notre Dame. You know, at some point, the Fighting Irish have to start taking teams that are, like, serious contenders in order to make a playoff run. I don't think they can this year. I don't know. It's super frustrating because you're watching these dudes and you're like, what the hell are these guys doing? You know, Air Force at UNLV, as previously mentioned, they kick at 3:30. So we're moving into the afternoon slate. You got Iowa State at Colorado. We'll see if they can bounce back after that loss that they took. You've got Oklahoma at Texas. That's going to be in Dallas. The Red River Shootout, or for those of you that are modern people, the Red River Rivalry. I guess alliteration is a thing. And if you don't know what alliteration is, go to English class. You've got Indiana at Oregon. That should be a decent game. That's kicking at 3:30, which is interesting. That'll be a noon kickoff for those guys, or 12:30 on the left coast. You've got Navy at Temple kicking at 4. Then you got Michigan at USC at 7:30 on NBC and Peacock. Georgia at Auburn at 7:30 on ABC, Kansas at Texas Tech at 7:30, BYU at Arizona, see if they can keep the streak going because they are undefeated, Arizona State at Utah. That should be an interesting contest to see if they can keep moving forward on their things. But now, on to our
weekly locks.
All right, who are we picking this week? Dano, and then Joe, and I will round it out.
So I went 1-2, and I feel like mathematically I'm slowly approaching absolute zero, even though I'm never going to quite get there. It's very frustrating season. I'm gonna finish it like 33%. So you would do well to fade my picks, but what can you do? This week, Iowa State got crushed by Cincy. I was very surprised that game wasn't particularly competitive. Navy didn't remotely cover against Air Force. We talked about that. And, of course, Memphis never disappoints. Dude, I love the Tigers with an abiding passion. What a great football team that is. Since I wrote the conference preview this week, I'm going to keep it in the American. So give me the Pirates +7 at Tulane. Like, I don't know if they're going to win outright, but I do think that they keep it close. I think that rushing defense is real. Also, USF at UNT, over 67.5 points. I think the Bulls might win on the basis of their running defense, but I'm expecting shitloads of points. I mean, both those teams can just absolutely throw bombs. And Temple +9.5 at home versus Navy. Yeah, man, I'm a believer in the Owls. They just stopped a really good run-heavy offense with the best running back in the entire nation. Held them to 42 yards on like 12 carries this past week. That's a decent football team. They're well coached.
Yeah, for sure. Joe, how about you?
I went 2-1 on my pick. San Diego State won on a blowout. I had a -5. Maryland lost in the thriller, like I said, and lost by 4 points, but covered the 6. And then Michigan was stopped on the goal line as the clock ran out, and they, or otherwise I would have went 3-0 because they were trying to punch another one in, which would have made it a 21-point lead. They were -16.5, won by 14. I went 2-1. So I'm firing 3 picks this week. As Dano has relayed to me, the number has not changed. So here's 3. First of all, give me Wake Forest -2.5 at 0-6 Oregon State. The Deacons just took undefeated Georgia Tech into overtime and should have won the game. That alone is enough for me to take them to win by a field goal over 0-6 Oregon State. Give me Wake Forest all day in that game, -2.5. Number 2. I'm taking the Cyclones to bounce back -2.5 at Colorado. Rocco Becht has Iowa State on a much better trajectory than Colorado right now. It looks like a dumpster fire at 2-4. And the Cyclones win games they're supposed to win. And they're supposed to win this one. So ISU -2.5 is my pick. I think they win 28-17. And then my third one, you guys might get a kick out of this, is UNLV -6.5 against Air Force. Don't look now, but the Running Rebels are undefeated through 5 weeks. Do I think they're great? Absolutely not, but more than serviceable to beat an Air Force team that's a little under what they, less than your average Air Force team. I think UNLV -6.5 is a lock. I got them 31-21.
All right. I went 1-2 this week, which kind of sucks. I actually had Western Kentucky. They won outright by 3 as predicted, almost the exact score too, which is kind of cool. Georgia and Kentucky scored 49. So the hook got me because it was 48 and a hook for that game. And then Clemson took UNC to the woodshed and won by 28. So I'm not too bad about that one. But this week, take ECU to cover 6.5 at Tulane. I'm thinking this is going to be a quarterback duel. I think whichever quarterback plays the cleanest is going to get the nod and the overall victory. But I think ECU is going to keep it close. They may not win, but it's going to be a field goal, maybe even overtime in that one. This is a weird pick, but take UMass to cover 2.5 against Kent State. The reason why I say that, both of these teams are bad, but I think UMass is going to knock that O off of the front of their record and win this
week. I can't believe that pick, honestly. Honestly.
Yeah, I was scraping the bottom of the barrel to find something obscure but also unique that probably nobody's betting this week. And then, of course, I'm going to go in the opposite direction and take North Texas and Florida. I looked at it. It said 67.5. I think they're going to go under this week. I think the defenses are actually going to show up. And North Texas, when they're supposed to show out, typically doesn't. And so I think, it's going to be probably mid-50s in the score, but I don't think they'll bust 68.
So you do remember Army down 10 points with 2.5 minutes left to go to overtime, right? I mean,
yeah.
You saw this.
100%, but I don't. I think South Florida will jump on them early, and North Texas will have to play catch-up, and I think that will cause some turnovers and some inconsistencies with their offense.
All right.
But we'll see.
I do like South Florida to win that game by a score.
Yeah, but that's why we watch.
I mean, the game, folks. Yeah. I could see South Florida putting up 48 of those 68 points, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at here.
Yeah, 100%. I think both of those teams are capable of doing it. But like last time I went in on over on North Texas, they let me down. So I'm going
under this. Yeah, I agree with Dan. Although I think the winner is going to have around 45 points in that game, and then whoever the loser is can make up the rest.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so we're going to wrap this thing up. We are at the end of the show. There's a QR code up there for the Ask for Football store. So if you have not purchased your merch, get in there. We've got some long sleeves, short sleeves, some koozies, and some coffee cups if you are interested.
Also, got new ones. I would like to say there's new stuff in there that if you haven't been in lately, there's at least go take a look.
Yeah, check it out. There's no requirement to buy, but if you want to help offset some of the cost for the production of the show, feel free to do so. But the Army... The FBS football team has managed to avoid ESPN Plus all season. But if you are on ESPN Plus, there is something that you do need to check out. It's called the Collegiate Sprint Football League and the Midwest Sprint Football League. So if you haven't watched football, if you want to get more exposure to college football and you just like competitive contests, then the Sprint Football League is the way to go. And the reason why I say that is because it's college football in its purest form. There's no NIL athletes there. Most of these guys that are playing are not scholarship people. They're just going to, you know, service academies and Ivy League schools that don't have any scholarships, and they're just playing against each other. However, there's some fascinating history of sprint football, which we'll probably do a little bit more of a deep dive in another time, maybe in an off week or something in the off season. But everything from United States presidents, multi-billion dollar CEOs, and Pulitzer Prize winning journalists are also part of the sprint guys, right? So one of the most notable sprint guys is Robert Kraft, who owns the Patriots. So I'm trying to start messaging campaign to get him to establish the Robert Kraft Sprint Football National Championship. So there's two different leagues. There's one in the Midwest, one on the East Coast. And, hey, let's meet in the middle, right? We can do that. We'll see. Anyway, maybe they could do a 4-team playoff or just have the two league champions match up. I think it'll be cool. Army Sprint next game is at UPenn on Friday. The game will be on Go Army Sports YouTube channel at 7:00 PM. So if you're into, you know, watching more college football, that'll be a great game to check out. I can't speak for the commentary sometimes. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bad. It's case by case basis, depending on who's broadcasting the game. But if you're traveling to West Point, get there a day early, go down to Shea Stadium, watch the sprint football guys play, and then tailgate, and then watch the FBS team or the varsity team play. I think it'll be worth your time. And speaking of time, it is that time in the show for us to wrap this thing up. I am your host, Rob, the Angry Colonel, calling out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Icabesa, calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut, and Trigger Joe from the home of the Big House. This has been the As for Football College Football Roundtable, or if you like, Ring Knocker Radio. We will see you guys next week. And as always, beat Charlotte.
Beat them.
Thanks for joining us on the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/askforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind-the-scenes extras. Thanks for being a part of the Ask for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.